Three words you're never going to hear from a certain candidate. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, Vice Chairman of the Institute, fellow analyst, and my good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Those are three of the hardest words a man can utter, and the reason you will never hear them.
Yeah, I remember going back to, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, the episodes of the Red Green Show, where he kind of expands it out into a longer soliloquy of, I'm a man, and I can change if I have to, I guess.
Yes.
Those three words that we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll never hear issued from any of the candidates' lips or who are on the stump right now are, I was wrong. Why are we saying that you'll never hear that? Well, because you should be hearing it from some of the candidates. Well, actually, you should be hearing it from all the candidates because they've all been wrong on something or other. There are very few of us who ever get everything right. Just ask my wife. I'm not one of them. I never get anything right.
We're all, to some extent, members of the Possum Lodge.
That's right. That's right. And I'll take that back. My wife loves me and is very, very gracious about my shortcomings, and I appreciate her so very much. But the whole point I'm getting at is, when we talked about this on yesterday's program, Mitt Romney, we're going to talk a little bit more about him today, because he could make a lot of amends, but instead of saying conservative or conservatism 24 times in a 10-minute speech, if he just said three simple little words, I was wrong, he'd probably go a long way toward establishing what many people are really doubting as his quote-unquote conservative credentials. What would he be saying I was wrong about? Not for being a Mormon, which, yeah, he's wrong in that. As a Orthodox believer in Jesus Christ, I do believe Mormonism is a wrong faith. I believe that it is another gospel. So, yes, I do believe he's wrong in that, and I don't think I'm being religiously intolerant by saying you're wrong. But that's not what I'm talking about. He could say he was wrong about some of his investment practices, you know, with his companies and things. But that's not what we're talking about either, because that's private market capitalism, and obviously all the attacks that have been coming have been from folks who think the government ought to be in telling private businesses how to handle their money. That's entirely a private transaction. That falls under the Declaration's prescription for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No, what Mitt Romney could utter those three words about? Romney care. The cradle to grave, all-inclusive, government will take be the nanny state in the state of Massachusetts healthcare program that Mitt Romney initiated. It's also the model for Obamacare, that abomination that we are dealing with right now and that the National Conference of Catholic Bishops have been spending the last 2 or 3 weeks wringing their hands furiously over because of a directive from President Obama for them to cover such things as sterilizations and abortions as religious employers in the Catholic hospitals and other places. And as we know, as we go to tape on this, that there has been some accommodation made. It's funny how the president comes up with a rule, put your gun to your head, and then accommodate you by taking the gun away from your temple and putting the knife to your throat. So basically what we've done now is we're going to mandate that insurers can give that coverage to those employees, especially in religious institutions, which sets the insurance companies against religious institutions.
Well, it doesn't do anything about the fact that Catholic hospitals will be forced to perform abortions, give abortion services, and provide abortifacients, which is the real sticking point anyway. How a president can make a rule regarding insurance mandates, it's not the president's job, first of all. It's unconstitutional. But if it were constitutional, it would be in the hands of Congress, not in the hands of the president.
No, it would. But, and that's the thing. We got to get back to the Constitution on all of this. And the Constitution, although free birth control is mandated under Obamacare, and that's what this whole kerfluffle has been about for the last 3 weeks with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the point is, it doesn't matter if it's mandated or not. The Obamacare legislation is a violation of the United States Constitution.
That's right.
Now, we've got cases that are going up before the United States Supreme Court in relation to this, and hopefully we'll get a court somewhere, and we've talked about this before, who will actually look at the fact that the law has no constitutional underpinning to start with, not so much that, well, since Congress passed it, it now becomes part of the supreme law of the land, and so therefore the states can't challenge it.
Well, so far all the district and circuit decisions have said we are not going to look at the constitutionality of this law. So, honestly, I don't necessarily think that that strategy is going to work out real well. And as we've discussed on shows in the past, the wrong courts are looking at this thing anyway.
That's right.
The states have the right to petition directly to the Supreme Court to hear this case. The Supreme Court has no right constitutionally to refuse to hear them. But of course, that's exactly what they've done. John Roberts came out, the great quote-unquote conservative Supreme Court Justice John Roberts came out and said, we will not hear these cases except that they go through the lower courts. And the Constitution is clear. The Supreme Court cannot refuse to hear the cases, and they cannot mandate that they be heard in an inferior court.
And that's true. But what we're getting at, they were kind of unpacking this whole thing and just kind of pointing out that we've been talking a lot about these issues. But one of the big problems, Chuck, I see, especially with this whole issue, and we'll get back to Mitt Romney in a minute, but with this whole issue with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops now crying foul because Obama is going to mandate them to offer this insurance coverage, which would include abortions and sterilizations and other things, is that when Obamacare was being fought over, when it was still a bill, where were the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops? They all were asking for an exemption from the language in there related to the STUPAC Amendment.
Yes.
They came back to the STUPAC Amendment. That was the only thing they were fighting over, not the fact that the bill itself was unconstitutional and the federal government has no business in directing, mandating, or otherwise social engineering people's health care coverage.
This was a major strategic mistake that so many pro-life groups found themselves falling into, and we warned them, you cannot limit your opposition to Obamacare to having your personal exemption for certain kinds of religious practitioners from the bill regarding abortion, because that is never going to happen. You're going to have to kill the beast. You can't just cut off one of its toes and say, look what we did. We damaged it. Guess what? The beast is walking just fine without those toes. And in fact, they've regrown the toe and it's bigger than it was before. And it's got a big claw on the end of it.
Well, and that's the point. It kind of gets back to that analogy I've used in the past about the branches and the roots.
Yes.
While everybody was up in the tree trying to knock a piece of fruit off of a branch, the tree was extending the roots and growing them deeper and stronger and solider so that you can't uproot it. And now, once it's gotten itself established as the supreme law of the land, mind you, now the president feels unilaterally encouraged and empowered to go issue these rules under the auspices of this law that is no law to tell these religious institutions who are giving him a hard way to go on the abortion language that we're going to force you to either cover things that go against your deeply held religious beliefs and pay for them, or pay us, the government, millions of dollars in fines. And so when they raised a big stink about it over the last 3 weeks, well, he came out with a compromise. He's not going to require these religious institutions to cover it. He's going to require the insurance companies to have to provide it free birth control. Supposedly these insurance companies, you know, these big companies have all this money where they can just basically give away free things and it won't impact their bottom line or your premiums. Well, we all know that's a joke.
Hooey.
But the point is, what it does is it sets religious organizations, and folks, it's starting with the Catholic bishops, but honestly, it's going to affect every religious organization. What about churches who want to uphold the gospel in its entirety, who are told that you're going to have to cover someone who on your staff who contracted AIDS because of homosexual practice? Well, you can't cut them off of the healthcare coverage by firing them. They're mandated healthcare coverage. You must do it. This is the kind of slippery slip we get into.
Right.
So it's a shame that it's only the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops right now making the outcry. And number two, it's a bigger shame that this is all they're worried about. The point is, there ought to be a full court press on the Catholic Supreme Court justices, Antonin Scalia, I believe John Roberts. I'm thinking Alito was Catholic as well. I mean, the most of the judges.
And I think Sotomayor is.
And I know Anthony Kennedy is.
Yes.
There should be a full court press on the Supreme Court justices to say that the whole law is unconstitutional, but you're not going to hear that happen.
No.
Because there's a social agenda involved. But the big problem is you have to be careful about what you ask for. You might just get it. And this is a problem with Mitt Romney. You got to be careful what you're asking for. You might just get it. He's asking to be considered a conservative, and he's got such great credentials for this, Romney Care, etc. This comes from an article in the Washington Times by Dr. Milton Wolf. Now, Milton Wolf is a practicing radiologist, and he also happens to have one other interesting note to his biography, and that is that he's President Obama's cousin. Well, he's writing an article in the Washington Times called Time for a Romney Care Mea Culpa. That's what we've been talking about. But he's talking about the concern about Mitt Romney trying to paint himself as a conservative. And the fact that the word conservative, and Chuck and you and I talked about this, is at risk of losing its meaning.
Yeah, and as we discussed, it long since lost its meaning. Conservative means nothing anymore.
Well, and I think on a previous show, and you can go back to our archives, I actually quoted from a historian and a theologian in the 1800s by the name of Robert Louis Dabney,
right,
who talked about all conservatism is just the tail dragging of liberals moving forward in the conservatives after arguing about it and saying how bad it is, following along in the wake of it.
Yeah. One wag put it that basically what conservatives do is conserve the socialism that has come before and say this far and no further. We like this amount of socialism. And all you really have to do to confirm that is listen to Rush Limbaugh for about a day.
Or Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Or many of the others. And because, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I'm sure that sooner or later we're going to pick on your favorite, too.
Yeah, that's right. But all you have to do is listen to these guys. And what you'll hear is them defending some unconstitutional program by saying, we never oppose these programs. We're there to keep the construction of new programs from coming along in their wake. And I'm sort of like, well, okay, let's go back and get at the root of the problem, as we've talked about. The root is the fact that that program was unconstitutional to start with. For instance, I recently watched a question being asked, Barry and I watched this together, about with Mark Weber, who was basically asked about the health care plan before it passed. And he said, so you would have us go back and eliminate Medicare then, because it's unconstitutional too. Now, the woman did not answer correctly. I would have said, well, yes, I would. Thank you very much. And I'm glad you were able to pick that out, is what how I would have answered. Now, she got quiet because the answer is, she's not conservative either, because
right,
she doesn't understand that, yes, Medicare should go.
But you see, Mitt Romney came to CPAC this last week, but he came with an entourage. One of his deepest supporters now is someone who a lot of people, conservative Republicans, would consider a uber conservative, Ann Coulter. That's right. The darling dear of the neo-right has decided that Romney is as conservative as the day is long, and he's the best guy out there. And basically, as instead of trying to get at the root of things and understanding and going back to constitutional principles, she's looking at the roots and saying, okay, now, how can we reconfigure this so that it gets us to where we want to go without changing it? So this is what she says, and this is in this article by Dr. Wolf, that Ann Coulter says that RomneyCare, which we know is the blueprint for Obamacare, is, quote, a massive triumph for conservative free market principles. It's the most socialistic program that we've ever seen in this country put forward in a form of a guise of a law. But to Ann Coulter, it is a triumph for conservative free market principles. You're right, Chuck. The word conservative lost its meaning a long time ago.
Yes, yeah. RomneyCare is nothing like free market, because what it does is it mandates the purchasing of coverage. That's sort of like mandating that you buy a certain kind of car, and that's the one you have to drive. And in fact, if you don't drive now and you take the bus, you have to buy a car and have it in your driveway, and it has to be the car that the government says that you need. Let's say you have a family of five. You have to have a car that'll hold five, but gets really great mileage, like 55 miles to the gallon. Good luck on that. Not only do you have to buy that car, you have to pay for it, but if you can't, we'll subsidize it.
That's it.
And how do we pay for the subsidy? Well, of course, we're going to have to tax those who can't afford to buy the car. They're going to have to pay a fine. And the companies that can't afford to provide you that car, they're going to have to pay the fine in your stead.
Uh-huh.
You mandate the costs out to their employer.
That's what Obama's just done with this whole thing with
exactly.
with the religious organizations and the mandated coverage. He's flipped it now to the providers, the insurance companies, who will then flip it to their policyholders. And he's put them in a box and made them look like they're going to be the cause of driving up your health care costs.
Yeah.
So, it's a win-win for somebody who's a strategic master at playing this game.
The free market has been redefined to mean anything we can mandate you to buy.
That's it.
Is now the free, as long as the companies who are selling them are competing.
Maybe that's the reason why in national polls, Mitt Romney couldn't really pull above 25%. Now, we know he won one of the state primaries, but the point is he's not won any more than one of them. And this is the deal. As of our recording, he had amassed about 1.2 million votes. Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich had amassed 1.4 million. And then if you add Ron Paul in there, you're looking at over 2 million votes that have already been cast for anybody but Romney.
Yes. Well, Romney's national support has never gotten over 25%.
That's right.
Now, he pulled 40 in Florida, but so what? Nationally is where the numbers lie. He's never gotten over 25%, which means 75% of the GOP does not want him.
Well, that's right. And this is where Dr. Wolf sums up his article in the Washington Times. He says, he needs to acknowledge the obvious. Government has no business in interposing itself between you and your doctor. He should begin his Romney care mea culpa with these three words, I was wrong. And then he adds, Ann Coulter may want to join him.
And with that, we're out of time, so join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.